Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Amy, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm super excited to have this conversation with you. But first, can you tell me, how did you first find Organize 365?
I think it was years ago. I had different people over the years have sent me a lot of links, like, you have to listen to this episode. I think especially as a young mom, that was very appealing to me, getting my life more organized.
So who are the people that are in your house that you're trying to get organized along with yourself?
So my father-in-law lives with us. He's 83 and very independent. And then my husband, and then I have four children. Two have launched to college. And then I have a junior in high school and an eighth grader. So there is less mess, I will say, though we do have two dogs and, you know, the four seasons. So, you know, lots is always coming into the house. But it is interesting how life changes and evolves as your children get older.
Yeah, I mean, it's very distinct, like the baby years, the toddler years, preschool, school age. You're now into all middle school and high school and up. But did your two college-age kids need to come home with you during the pandemic, or were they able to stay independent?
They were home. And once again, it changes your family dynamic and stuff.
Yeah, my husband said the other day, he was like, where are the kids going? I go, the kids are adults and we don't need to know because they live with us now. They're not living on their own, but I'm like, they're almost 20 and 21. Like, they're not kids. They can come and go as they please, because if they were at college or living on their own, they would be coming and going as they please. So hard though, as the parents who have raised these children from, you know, thoughts in our mind to these tiny little babies, to really truly realize they're adults living with us because we're in a global pandemic, not because they're still children.
Yeah. And I really noticed, you know, I used to make chore charts and, you know, the cute little round tables that you spin, and that's what chore you did. And that just didn't seem like it would work well. So yeah. You're asking adults to pick up after themselves. And even the way I ask and the way you ask your adult children to pick up it's just a different dynamic that we struggle through and got through, but it's definitely different.
Yeah. And I personally find the more that you say, hey, we're co-living here together, so could you pitch in, versus this is your chore, you need to do this for me, they take it differently. Like when you start treating them like adults that are living in your house, they still don't do everything you want them to do, but they're a little bit more receptive when you're giving them what they perceive to be adult respect.
Yeah. Yeah. We're a family and we're all in this together.
And I'm sure, is it your father or your father-in-law?
Father-in-law.
Yeah. I'm sure with your father-in-law, same thing. Like, he is not needing 24/7 care. Like, he is an independent adult also that is cohabitating with you. I don't think we've really talked about that on any of the Wednesday podcasts. Any tips or suggestions or things you found that have worked really well for living with another generation in your family, that for people that might be considering or just entering that?
Yeah, that's a good question. He is probably the easiest person to live with. He's very laid back. Of all the in-laws, I think he's probably the number one choice. But yeah, it is. You know, I'm not going to put him on the chore chart either.
Right.
And he puts up with our noise and our messes. I mean, he likes to cook independently. So yeah, you have to kind of balance who's in the kitchen when. He has a walker, so we try not to be in his way when he's cooking. He does a lot of cooking at night. So then he's up at night and he's really good about cleaning up. But yeah, that dynamic of the adults in the house, that feels like a very different dynamic of, again, like we're a family, we're in this together versus, you know, you need to do this and this and this. Mm-hmm. That just wouldn't, it wouldn't create more peace in the home for sure.
You know what, when you say that bumping into each other in the kitchen, I would say that is been the biggest pain point for us in the last 18 months is that we sometimes eat the same foods together, but more often we're eating at the same time, but we're eating what we want. Like we're, you know, some people are coming in with carry out, you know, Greg's cooking just for he and I, or we're all on our own. So we're heating up leftovers or whatever we want to be eating. And we bump into each other a lot in the kitchen, like get out of my way.
Yeah, it's very true. And sometimes Arthur, my father-in-law, I think one of his solutions has been, he wants to cook dinner for everyone. And so we see if he needs help, but he likes to do it and he'd rather not have anyone in the kitchen.
Totally me. I'm like, just get out. I will do all of it. Like when I make Thanksgiving dinner, I prefer you stand in the family room and look at me from there. Like, don't even stand near the kitchen. Like, go away.
Yeah. Don't be in my bubble because I don't want to touch you in the kitchen.
Yes. I can move a lot faster when I'm not worrying about dogs and kids and all of these other people.
Yeah.
Okay. So when was it when you decided you were going to start getting organized?
You know, it's always appealed to me. It's just hard. And maybe that's universal, but I feel like sometimes the feeling of that, even that word organized feels restrictive to me. So like in college, I wanted to have a really organized room, but I put things down on the bed. I just couldn't make myself hang it up. I would put things on the floor and, you know, like that broken windows theory. Once one broken window is broken, it spreads. And then, you know, getting married and having children, I want to have a clean and organized home. I want to be organized in my personal pursuits, and how to do that. And so I, you know, I'm thankful for podcasts like this. There's so many great, people out there like you that can tell us how to do it more easily.
Yeah. I am a podcast addict as well. Like, I mean, sometimes I'll listen to 10 episodes in a day of different podcasts. Like I just love, it's almost like they're my virtual friends. Like I feel all the podcasters I listen to are like virtual friends. And if I met those people in real life, I would be able to have a conversation because I've been having a mental conversation with them the whole time.
Yeah. Like, I can't tell you how many times you've been in my ear while I go around the house, like you can move around the house and do other things. And it's so lovely.
Yeah. You feel kind of connected, right? Like even when you're getting your own things done, I love it as well. So do you know what time of year it was or what you decided to do first?
That's a good question. It feels like the change of seasons always makes me feel like I'm starting to get the itch to spring clean. but you know, with kids, everyone has mittens and scarves. So definitely the start of winter, that's probably the image that comes to my mind first is all of these cubbies and what's the best way to organize cubbies and shoes and scarves and winter gear.
Yeah. Organizing people versus organizing things.
Yeah.
It's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah. And how eye-opening it was for me to have systems in place that made my life easier as a mother.
Yes. And when I think about, because you have four children and now you have your father-in-law living with you. And so as we orchestrate our homes as the female head of the household, I almost, as you're saying this, thinking about the seasons, we're not only thinking about how to corral those hats and gloves and scarves. And when we go into spring, you know, does everyone have a bathing suit? All of that. We're almost also proactively anticipating the next thing they're going to ask us for. Like, okay, we just had a big snow. We're recording this at the end of February. You'll listen to this and it'll be like warm and hot. And you'll be like, why are they talking about snow? But what we realized was, a year ago, we bought gloves for our kids because they're driving. So driving gloves are different than other gloves, and they were expensive. And of course, here we are, big, huge snow. They don't have their gloves. And Greg says, I'm going to go out and buy them again. And I was like, okay, but this is the last time. Like, I remember when the kids needed new phones a couple of years ago, they were 18 and 19 at the time. And I said, this is the last phone I buy you. So however long this phone lasts, we'll pay for the cell phone plan. But the next time you need a phone, you will be buying your phone. Like, that's another part of this moving into this adulthood thing. We are proactively anticipating you're going to need driving gloves. And I'm so glad I got the ones that I did last time. I don't know what the name of it is, but I got the kind that work with your phone. And they really do. Like, you can have your gloves on and it works with your phone. Like, you could scroll and tap and everything. So I think we should get them those kinds. But there's this, when you're launching adults into the world and you're used to constantly proactively anticipating and pre-buying and orchestrating the kitchen and the clothing and everything for your kids, it's teaching them that, like, okay, we're going into winter. Do you have a scraper in your car? Do you have gloves? Do you have, you know, extra water in your car, a blanket, the things that we always put in our car? We are going to buy you all of these things for your car, and we are launching you into adulthood, and every winter, you need to make sure that you still have these or you're replenishing them as you go.
Yeah. And I think it's really quite amazing how much better we take care of things that we are responsible for.
Right. Right. Or that we pay for.
Or that we pay for. Yeah.
Yeah. Last weekend, I sent a group text to my family that was very formal. It was when we were going to have like sub below zero weather. And I said something, it was my husband and the kids I put in the text. I said, okay, it is going to be very cold. Everybody's cars are parked outside. You need to make sure that your car tonight is full of gas. Otherwise, this will happen. Also, please make sure that you park in the driveway because we're expecting trucks, blah, 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 blah. And if you want anything added to the grocery list, Dad is going tomorrow, please add it tonight. Otherwise, you will not get it until next weekend. And my husband called me, he goes, where did that come from? I love that. And I said, well, how else do we treat them like adults without, you know, individually texting? What do you want at the grocery store? Like, what would I say at my office? At my office, I would say, okay, today we're going to have to move to this other side because, like, what would I say to my employees? That's kind of what I did. And the kids loved it. They replied right back. They were like, okay, we're on it. We've got it. You know, and that way you're giving them the information, but you're doing it more as a group text, like, hey, whole family, just want to let you know, this is what we're seeing coming. Here's what I'm going to do. That worked really well as well.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's very clear. My mother would, she was really big into the family running the home together, and she was the big orchestrator, but he would say, you being capable and able to do things is what's going to give you self-esteem, not me telling you how special you are. But
wow.
Screamed it like, you can scrub a floor. Look how capable you are. Aren't you glad that I'm teaching you what great self-esteem that you have? You're so capable of doing these things. And I loved it and appreciate it more as a mother. Like, you are able to do these things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so, especially our generation of kids, Gen Z, they are living at home longer. The millennials lived at home longer because the job economics were bad when they graduated, not because they really wanted to. Gen Z really wants to. They really do not want to move out. Like, they prefer to live at home. So I think the more that we can just, you know, embrace where we are in the world, but then change the dynamics from kids to adults is helpful as well. And there's not a lot on how to do this.
Yeah.
Or models of people who are doing it. That's why I'm kind of giving quite a few examples, because I know you're doing it as well, Amy.
Yeah. And it's empowering to be able to do things by yourself. I think we hold ourselves back so much because we just don't know where to start.
And, you know, you think back in the past, multi-generations lived together all the time. It wasn't until really recently that we started living on our own and just having one generation or two generations in a house. Yeah. That's a really recent and a very American experience. Yeah. So I don't really have examples of multi-generation of adults living in a house personally. And I don't see a lot of them on TV when I think about it.
Mm. And it's, you know, it is so wonderful to have a grandfather who loves my children, but is not in charge of them. And it's just pure love. And that relationship is strong and wonderful. And it's been a blessing. I worried about it a lot. And it's been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That reminds me, I do remember my grandfather living with my grandmother, my great grandfather living with my grandmother at the end of his life. And so I guess I have seen examples when I was younger, but not recently. And so it's helpful to look around and see. And even while we're having this conversation, I was like, oh, I guess I can see how my mother-in-law would live with us someday, you know, possibly if that's something that needs to happen.
Yeah.
That I hadn't thought about. All right. So when you started getting organized and you're working on all these organizing things, even though you've already been organized, like you have four kids, like you've been organized, but you're focusing on more organization. What's the first time that you noticed that something was organized that had not been organized before?
So I think I would use the example of, well, yes, the cubbies, but then like in terms of a project, I wanted to record my children's lives. So I got really into the scrapbooking world, and you buy the 12 by 12 books and you need the protective covers and, yep. Oh, you can buy all these different colors of paper and markers and stickers. And pretty soon it's like, oh my gosh, I have so much stuff and stickers for every season and every sport and every color and words and letters.
I don't see any problem with what you're talking about, Amy.
I mean, it is so much. And it was actually, maybe the first time where I actually thought it was fun to organize. Mm. And, you know, how to do that in file folders, but then those stickers fall out. So maybe in these tall organizers where you can put all the stickers and,
yep.
You know, it was good for my brain because I do not consider myself a type A person, which in my mind, I connect type A to organized people. Mm-hmm. And I think of creativity mm-hmm. as a different brain that organization might stifle. And that's just a myth. Mm-hmm. You can be organized and creative. And in fact, the most creative people that I admire really have systems in place to organize what they can do so well. And that was very eye-opening to me that you can be a creative, very organized individual.
Yeah, I talk about this in the first book I ever wrote, The Mindset of Organization, about the process I went through to organize my extremely creative, intelligent mother mm-hmm. and organizing her craft room because she did stamps and cards and scrapbooking and she made our clothes when we were kids and she had a business. She was an entrepreneur and she like ran the junior league and she started this whole program they still do in Akron for women who are juniors in high school so that they will have great experiences. Like she's so creative and so entrepreneurial and had so many different projects. She had the best Christmas parties. She had new Christmas decorations every year, like so creative. And my dad created a whole room for her in our garage. Our garage was heated for her crafts. Mm-hmm. It would just blow up. And it took me forever to come up with a system that she could maintain. But when that room was organized, she was more creative than when the room was not organized. The difficulty in organizing a super creative person is they don't declutter anything because they can see the potential in everything.
That's true.
Use a lot of organizers in order to organize all of the stuff because all of the stuff could become this wonderfully amazing thing in the future. And they don't like to clean up when they're done because they have so many ideas. They're on to the next thing. So the best thing for really creative types, I always say, is to buy whatever organizers that craft has. So if you are a knitter, there's stuff for knitting. If you're a scrapbooker, there's stuff for scrapbooking. If you're a floral arranger, stuff for golf, tennis, whatever it is you do, if that's your passion project, there are organizers specifically for that thing. Yes, they're expensive. I don't care. Buy them because that's what you need in order to keep that organized because you're not going to declutter it.
Yeah. And you can waste a lot of money because you can't find what you need because mm-hmm. it's not organized.
Yeah.
And it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. I once read about Elizabeth Gilbert as a writer, needing to have a very clean, organized desk. And sometimes she would kind of procrastinate getting everything clean before she could write. And I remember being really surprised by that. I just kind of assumed she was a loosey-goosey, laissez-faire, big thinker. And it was good for my mind shift to think of, oh,
yes,
people can be really organized.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's so good. So what's happened on this journey of getting organized that you didn't expect to happen?
Peace of mind for sure. Satisfaction. Feeling like I'm more in control of my life. You know, this, I became, you know, almost a full-time writer instead of just a hobby. And, you know, there's pieces of paper everywhere. And how do you get organized as a writer? Where do you record all your thoughts? And then if you're querying literary agents, how do you keep mm-hmm. track of that? But it really, if you know where you've been and where you're going, it's just peace in your head.
I know a lot of people want to write books or they're in the process of writing books. How did you carve out that space? Where did you find that space, like, to do the writing and to do the researching?
I've always liked to write, but I think it really kicked off when my fourth baby was born and I was home a lot more and I just needed to write this story. So it was nap time, even though that's my prime nap time too, but I would try to get a little bit of writing nap time. And if I could do that, then I was really excited to maybe I could get in a little bit at night after the kids were in bed, even though I don't think very well at that time of night, but maybe I could get up 30 minutes early. And just a little bit every day keeps the story in your head. I always think that like a manuscript is kind of a jealous mistress and if you don't pay attention to it, it kind of goes away. And then the restarting again is hard. So I didn't want to lose that.
What kind of stories do you write?
So, my first book was, I mean, it took like 10 years from start to publication, but I wrote, a middle grade novel called The Unforgettable Guinevere St. Clair. And my second middle grade book will come out this July.
Congratulations. What's the name of it?
Thank you. It's 10,000 Tries, and you can't see it if you're listening, but this is the advanced reader copy that I just got. So
congratulations. How fun.
Thank you. And we're still like in the final editing stage, we got these advanced copies. So
will there be a pre-order available for that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So tell people about it.
Okay. So if you go to, I'm on Instagram and I have a website, amymckechnie.com, and it says pre-order and you can click that button and it's right there. Really easy.
What's the book about?
This one is about, so I teach one class of anatomy and physiology. So I put a lot of science in my books, but this is about an eighth grade boy, and he all he wants to do is be super soccer player Messi, and he wants to get bigger, stronger, and faster. And at the same time, his father has been diagnosed with ALS, and he's noticing he's getting weaker and slower and dropping things. And this dichotomy of how do you get what you want? And how do you what makes you a man? Is it getting bigger, stronger, faster? So it's a soccer championship. It's a lot of family dynamics. It's how to be a team on the field and off the field.
Wow, Amy, who's your publisher?
Simon & Schuster.
Wow, congratulations. That's awesome. So it's coming out when in July? Which Tuesday in July?
July 13th.
It's always a Tuesday, you guys. These books always launch on a Tuesday. So July 13th.
Yes.
And it's called
10,000 Tries. And that's based on the Malcolm Gladwell theory that 10,000 hours is the number for greatness.
Very cool. Is this written for adults, for teenagers, for both?
For young teens, but definitely there's a crossover to the adult audience.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Thank you so much. Okay. So thanks for telling us about your book.
Thank you.
And you have more time to write now. So you're not already starting the next book, are you? Of course you are. You have plenty of books.
I'll always try to be writing a book.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. Yes.
For
totally.
You.
Okay, great. So have you experienced any unexpected events during your organizing journey? I'm sure none, right? No, with a father-in-law moving in, four children, pandemic. You've had no unexpected events, right?
Unexpected events. Maybe that would make life boring. Although this past year, I thought it'd be so nice for my life to be boring. I thought that when my children were young, that would be the hardest time to be a mother.
Mm.
And that has not been the case.
Right.
I just find that there's so much more to worry about as teens and young adults living in this world. So, you know, that takes up a lot of emotional energy as well.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to write some days when that's your brain space is being taken up by hard things,
mm-hmm.
hard situations. I mean, everyone's saying, yep, this is a year that taught us to be flexible. And I think that's true. I think we're constantly having to be flexible and pivot and, you know, do the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
And also remembering I can't control other people. I can only control myself.
Yes.
My emotions and my response.
Yes. But our emotions and our response are very controllable. And like for years, I did not think they were. I was like, no, that's a terrible thing and it's horrible and I'm going to have a temper tantrum and I'm going to make it worse. You're like, no, you really get to choose how you respond. And it is a quiet power when you learn how to do that.
Yeah. I remember reading something from Gretchen Rubin and her saying, instead of viewing feeling the way you act, try to shift that mindset to act the way you want to feel. And
it's good.
How eye-opening that was. And how it's not a fake thing. It's, you know, it's good to lose control and cry and be vulnerable, but it's also, you know, good to act the way you want to feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think you have more of now?
I do have more time. I struggle with, do I always need to be productive?
Yes, me too.
And I'm very driven to always be doing something. And so now I think my struggle is, where should that focus be?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's really hard. I feel sometimes like I get paralyzed and what should I be doing right now? I don't mm-hmm. have children at home that need my constant shepherding. What's the best use of my time?
Yeah, I tend to feel guilty when I have time and nothing to do. And I'm like, I really, really should be doing something productive.
Yeah.
And there isn't something on my list that needs to be done at this point. It is the most bizarre thing when you spend all these years raising children and having no time to yourself to all of a sudden have time.
Yeah. And interesting how sometimes I felt like I'm more productive when I have these parameters.
Mm-hmm.
A hard start and a stop versus a whole afternoon.
Hmm. Yes, right. I know. I'm the same way. What do you think you have less of?
I think I wrote down in the questionnaire, sometimes I have less patience for other people's shortcomings and being on time and doing the things that I want them to do when I want them to do it.
I think I would say I have that sometimes too, because once you realize how much quicker you can get things done when you're organized, you have less patience for all the lost time you see happening in other people. It's not really that you don't have patience for them. You just grieve all the lost time and stress that is being caused in their life because they don't have organization either in their calendar or their time or their email or their job or their home, or like you start to see the time literally just flying away and the stress that they have. And you're like, oh, but there's an easier way.
Yeah. I find that especially with my children who, you know, appreciate all the advice I have to give them on if you do it this way, if it would be easier. And I try to remember that, you know, we all start somewhere, and they're, you know, my daughter's 13. She will learn to use a planner effectively eventually if she wants to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can see you want to help people with how you've struggled, and you want to help people with your struggle. And it's patience and time.
Is there anything you wish you had known sooner?
I suppose I could have, you know, been more organized in some of my systems earlier, but I wouldn't say that I regret it. Mm-hmm. I'm still definitely a work in progress. You know, I want to learn to paint, and I don't really know how to organize all the paints and the brushes. And, there's a million tutorials that I can learn from, but I guess it's fun too, to go through that journey of learning what works best for you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Some of the figuring it out is actually fun.
Yeah.
If you're not really looking for a paint by number, do this, you're done. And then, I mean, that takes some of the joy out of it. Some of the struggle actually is the growth that you do in learning whatever it is you're doing.
Absolutely.
What's your next step now?
I'm writing another book. And you know, there's a lot of organization to writing a book. For fiction, I need to have the three acts. I need to have the first plot point and the midpoint and the climatic moment. And, so that's kind of always in my head. And like I mentioned, the art, I would love, my big dream is to, wouldn't it be cool to be an author illustrator and add that combination? And how do I do that? And that's exciting though, too. I'm, you know, in my 40s, and I can still learn how yes. to do lots of different things. And that's really fun.
Yeah, I think I have a podcast coming up, or it may have already aired by the time you hear this one, about curating your life and how to curate your next, that life is just a bunch of curations, and you're just adding different things into your curated mix that you're sharing right now. I love that idea.
I love that too.
As a lifelong learner, like, I would like to go back to college. Like, there are just so many things that I still want to add to who I am and what I'm doing. And I love that we're now thinking that we can do that. Like, college isn't only for your 20s, and you know, all these things that you want to do are not just locked in certain parts of time, but you can continue to grow and expand, and you're on a lifelong journey, and all these things will keep coming back at different points in your life.
Yes. My sister just started playing the violin. She's, you know, 44, and wow, you can do that. You can learn a foreign language. You're right.
Whatever we want to do. It's limitless.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone who is just starting out? Let's do specific for their writing journey. Like, maybe they're inspired, Amy, by you publishing your second book, and they know I'm coming out with another book too. Like, what would you say to someone who's just starting out on their organizing journey and really trying to organize writing or something like that?
I would say, like for me, every night in my planner, I like to look at the next day, and I have like my top threes. I like to do some scripture and meditation. I need to exercise, and I need to write 1 hour. And I try very hard to protect those three at all costs. And you, no one's going to do it for you. No one's going to come in and soup the day and make that hour easy for me. So you protect it. And I try to tell myself, you go get your hour in before you empty the dishwasher.
Yes.
Or anything. Like, just, I try to be very, very protective of that 1 hour. And if that 1 hour leads to two, wow. And I feel good about that decision for me, because I'm pretty sure that the dishwasher will get emptied. But my writing, it will not get done if I kind of let it just trickle on through the day. Yeah, I start to feel this hopeless feeling like I missed my time. When am I going to do it? Kids are coming home from school. So I would say, you know, write out those top three and make those top three happen. And the other things will fit around it.
I think that's a great place to end. Amy, thank you so much for being a guest on the Organized 365 podcast.
Thank you so much. That was really fun.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organized 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.